Our next speaker needs no introduction in the San Diego area, but since we're a national organization, this may be her first performance at this level, but she is truly an expert in the field of fluoridation in San Diego. Eleanor Nadler, who is known as Ellie Nadler, is a dental hygienist, earned her MPH from San Diego State University, and has been the executive director of the San Diego Fluoridation Coalition since its inception in 1995. Please welcome Ellie Nadler.
Thank you. Well, now I think I've earned the top dollar in compliments. Thank you very, very much. One of the things that I think was so instrumental in getting us started was the first California needs assessment that was led by Howard Pollack. And that was 93-94, if I'm not mistaken. It was published a couple of years after that. But it's the foundation for moving us forward in California, in all of California, even though I'm going to be focusing on San Diego. And there's been a follow-up survey, a needs assessment in 2005 that was limited to kindergarten and grade 3, but just as a statewide follow-up to that, that Howard had initiated. And it found that children were affected by dental disease by the third grade in a quantity of two-thirds of California's children. So we had plenty of reason for wanting to fluoridate not only the state of California, but the huge area that's comprised of Southern California and San Diego County. We also found in that survey that Latino children suffered at nearly twice the rate of Caucasian children that were surveyed. To break it down to San Diego, the Anderson Center for Dental Care at Rady Children's Hospital and Health Center determined that as many as 311, almost 312,000 children in San Diego County schools, or 62%, have experienced tooth decay, and up to 141,000 of them, over 28%, currently may be suffering from untreated tooth decay. I have no financial or commercial interest in anything except fluoridated water, which I now am able to purchase from the Helix Water District. This really is a motto for our experience, because we've never given up, and so we can really say that the impossible and what has seemed like the impossible just is taking a little longer. So we've had 13 years now, and the most important things to us was what you see on the screen. I don't need to read them to you, but everyone in our group presentation today and several other people in the room are a prime example of what it's taken in San Diego to get even this far, and we know we're not finished. We're almost at the beginning in so many areas of San Diego County. In regard to Scott Peters and Ron Roberts, I would like to add the word courage to this list. It probably was basic in all of us, but I remember when Myron Nalukian came to San Diego to help get us started, and I heard about the need to find courageous elected officials who would be willing to put the public good ahead of their political gain. And we found them. And the two prime examples were and are with us today. Bob Eisman helped us develop cost-benefit information based on the state expenditure for dental care. And we're so grateful for everybody that helped us, whether it was from far away or right came here to San Diego to assist us. I think we're in a circle, and with apologies to the composers of The Lion King, I think it is the circle of life as far as fluoridation is concerned. the need to maintain this circle and all the subheadings we could add to these three categories will probably be ever present. And I believe it's really vital to maintain a very high level of vigilance in areas that are already enjoying fluoridation, even those fluoridating for 50 years or more. We've had examples of that struggle right here in California, Palo Alto, the home of Stanford University, being the greatest example, I think, of that attempt to turn back the clock way, way back. And I fear that as the financial squeeze continues on cities and counties and water districts, the opponents will jump at any opportunity to stop fluoridation anywhere they can and jump on the possibility that there are some dollars that can be cut without cutting police and fire, which is in everybody's mind. Okay, again? Wants to move. You've heard a little bit about our history from Scott, so I won't spend too much time on it, except that I've always looked at the City Council of 1952 as very, very courageous. There's that word again. Because they decided to voluntarily fluoridate when it was a very, very new thing in the world, and certainly in the United States of America, to fluoridate the water. That city council stuck with it through the state Supreme Court, and the court ruled that the city has the legal right to fluoridate. And that's an opinion that stands today as very important. Whenever you read legal opinions, they'll go back and quote this opinion. But in 1954, the opponents won the ballot initiative, and that put an ordinance in the city charter that prohibited the use of city money for fluoridation, and fluoridation was stopped, just as Dr. Brown said. And there were one or two later attempts to reverse that, and they failed. And that moves us all the way forward in time, all that lost time, till 1995. Well, moms are really important. And I don't know what we could name Jackie Spears as far as a mom moniker. I don't know if she has anything to do with soccer or not, or if she did at that time. But she was in state government, and she moved to Sacramento with her family, and she was shocked to discover that Sacramento wasn't fluoridated. And eventually, she engaged the interest of the California Dental Association. All of us started to become involved. That's when we were just so fledgling that we had a couple of local mentors and politically astute individuals. One in particular is our darling late Stan Foster. All of this, we knew intuitively, immediately, that that state law was going to be the key to unlocking the fluoridation door in San Diego. Nothing could be more important than that state law. It had its flaws. We had some misgivings about it, the funding issues and so forth, but it was essential to move on from there. And so it energized an entire new era as far as fluoridation in the state was concerned. And it sparked the opportunity to obtain grant dollars to move ahead with community-level projects and provide professional leadership as well. The very first grant was from California Wellness Foundation. And the California Dental Association has maintained its energy, its perseverance, its courage, and so importantly, its dollars through the CDAF, the California Dental Association Foundation. I don't think we'd be here today without that kind of support. And it's been reflected back and forth between our San Diego County Dental Society, the Alliance to the Dental Society, the Spouses Organization, and their own foundation. The kind of support that has been generated back and forth and through back to the state level, the county, and so forth is unprecedented anywhere. And it's been a tremendous key factor. this allowed us to have very skilled direction. It started with the Dental Health Foundation, which is a private nonprofit, and that originated the California Wellness Foundation grant, and it targeted several statewide areas, including Los Angeles, Sacramento, San Diego, and others. And there were so many stalwart individuals among the many. Marjorie Stocks is here with us today, and you know, if Ron is the father of fluoridation, oh well, if it fits, if the title fits. See, I don't have to say it, but that's the way it has been right from the very inception. And Howard Pollack and John Roth and chairman of the statewide fluoridation task force, Tim Collins, and Dave Nelson, who started out with CDA and moved on to the State Department of Health Services, Jeff Album with Delta Dental. That's the kind of backup and the support system, and when things look the very darkest, that's what you have to generate in your own mind. And eventually, we worked on getting a lot of attention, and we had invaluable assistance from community friends and introductions to elected officials, because in the very, very beginning, when I mentioned Stan Foster, the very first people that he took me to meet, and the first one, was Ron Roberts. State Senators Lucy Calais and Dee Dee Alpert, who have become such strong leaders in the fluoridation movement since they retired from the Senate, to the then Mayor Susan Golding, the city manager and city attorney at that time, and that those positions have remained extremely, extremely important. I think when I started, I wanted to be very naive and scientific and kind of poo-poo how important politics would be in the fluoridation game. And boy, I learned quickly that was not the case. So getting attention is just incredible. And, you know, one of San Diego's most famous citizens was Dr. Seuss. And we stole his system, who's who and who knows who. So his philanthropic wife contributed to our effort quite early on as far as financially is concerned. So we learned that we had to learn everything you can about local politics and leaders and be alert to the changes that come with every election. We were just talking about that a few minutes ago with Scott Peters, who we are going to lose in a few weeks from the city council, much to our detriment, I'm sure. But we will persevere, and we'll learn all we can about the new city council that will be put into office. We spoke to lots and lots of organizations to get going, both private, such as, well, PTA, which is quasi-private, Kiwanis, every kind of organization that would listen for even a few minutes or put a blurb in their newsletter is how we began. The County Science Advisory Board, a public entity, was extremely important in what helping us to move forward and to presenting the scientific base and the foundation for fluoridation, especially from a local viewpoint. You have to learn everything you can about the water department, the complications, the fluoride levels, who regulates it, educate the staff, because they're going to carry on the project. Once we win a vote and funding and go through that circle all over again, who do we turn it over to but the engineers and the chemists and so forth in the water department? And if they're not with us and understand the importance, they just see us as just a little more work they have to do. So we depend on them to carry the project forward. And media. We can't say too much about the importance of involving media. We need their informed opinion, and we've made great use of that here in San Diego with the San Diego Union Tribune. Children's Hospital, United Way. About midway of our work with United Way, they got a new chairman. His name was Jerry Sanders, and he became very involved in what we were doing and what United Way was doing to help us organize the community. And he's San Diego's mayor today. So I've been essentially talking about community networking, and I think we all know how involved that is. The dental community itself, as I mentioned, has been the strongest base of support. And we expanded from there because it really was a who knows who, not just from the political level, but from the community level, who was involved in what organizations, who knew somebody that was, and so forth. And there are several people here in the room today that I really wish you would make your presence known, who are stalwart, long time, from its inception, members of the San Diego Fluoridation Coalition. And I'm so proud of them. Peggy Yamagata is here. And Susan Lovelace, and Phyllis Elkind, and Wayne Deutsch. I don't see anybody else. Okay. Jack? Jack, I didn't see you back there. Hi, Jack Luominant. He's not such a newcomer to our group, but relatively, and we're so glad that he exported himself to San Diego to help us out. The elephant in the room is funding, because that's what ignited everything. We needed that spark, and we needed ever more today. We had training from experts. We had to learn how to deal with opponents. Dr. Mike Easley was right there by our side in the earliest days, teaching us how to do that. Came to an all-day seminar we created. We went through a social marketing training program with Moshe Engelberg, Director of Research Works. We had a PR backing from Ray Drasnan, Drasnan Communications. We created a survey done by the San Diego State University. We had so many community leaders give us their efforts and teach us that this is a great legacy and that you will create this legacy for many future generations. The city was granted, not the city, excuse me, but statewide, was granted $15 million by the California Endowment. And that, I think you'll hear a lot more about from Marjorie. And that jumped the statewide fluoridation projects. And there were funds in there that were earmarked for San Diego. And again, that re-energized all kinds of community-based actions. And then in 2000, that funding was accepted by the city. But those negotiations after the vote faltered on indemnity issues and the lack of the strongest kind of leadership from the city that we didn't have at that time. Then, in 2002, the impossible happened. This was part of our statewide dream, is that someday wholesalers would fluoridate and relieve some of the local burden, and that's exactly what happened after years and years and years of work. The Metropolitan Water District that serves Southern California voted to fluoridate their treated water supply. And in December, that actually began throughout Southern California. So there are 5 water treatment plants operated by the wholesaler that treat that water and fluoridate that water. But not everybody buys all their water or even some of their water already treated. Many areas, such as the city of San Diego, have their own water treatment plant. And the city buys only about 9% of its water as that already treated Metropolitan Water District water, and they treat, and the rest they buy raw. And so that just shows the tip of how complicated water delivery systems can be. We had a couple of other successes in the county, and in 2004, the city of Escondido became the first to fluoridate. And that was, if you think back to where we started, when fluoridation ended in the city of San Diego in 1954, this was the first community fluoridation since 1954. And at the same time, the Helix Water District in eastern San Diego County voted to accept funding, but they wanted to wait and start when Metropolitan did, and so they have been fluoridating since the first week of December 07. This is what our county looks like now. All the purple areas are completely optimally fluoridated. many of the green areas, or the color didn't come out so good on there, better over here, are partially fluoridated because they get a mix of water. Well, it looks like a khaki color, kind of a grayish khaki color. A great deal of that is the city of San Diego or areas that are served by the city of San Diego. And as you heard Scott Peters, our goal is May of 2010, that all of that is going to turn purple. We're not dealing with red and blue areas here. We're dealing with purple and turquoise and all kinds of other off colors. But it's all going to turn purple with a few exceptions, and we are looking forward now that we have this extreme success of funding, a lot of funding from the First Five Commission that you'll hear more about from Ron Roberts. We're going to be going after several other areas. And that brings us to looking at the circle again and realizing how much we still have to do, how much we have accomplished, and how grateful we are. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ellie. It's been a personal pleasure to have known you over the last decade and more. And I miss those fairly regular meetings where we would get together with the task force. And